You'll never guess what you're listening to. Disgruntled Screenwriter, bitches.
And see what's new, so I'm not surprised when I'm running out of time in this fast city. You better run quick, or you're running late, or running into me. City hall's locked up, no one's getting in, no one's coming out, no one gives a damn about politics anymore. Your mind's messed up, we got medicine. Fills your aches and pains. If you're feeling ill, take a few of these and a bottle for the road.
Hello and welcome to The Disgruntled Screenwriter. I'm Movie Guy John. Here's the scoop. The Disgruntled Screenwriter is a podcast about the ins and outs of screenwriting. Each week I come to you in three acts and discuss pretty much the ins and outs of screenwriting. We've got a fun pilot episode for you today. Act 1, getting scripty and junk with the best way to start a screenplay. Act 2, 500 Days of Summer, a film review. Some of what's good and bad about it from a screenwriting standpoint. And Act 3, questions and discussion. And with that, let's get started. But first, I'd like to point your way to a little screenwriting program that I love greatly. It's called Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-X. The best screenwriting software money doesn't buy. And while they're not paying me to pimp their shit on my podcast, I would like to do so in the hopes that you will use their program and break from the shackles of Final Draft, which is still a good piece of screenwriting software. But if you can't afford it or don't want to put down $75 for, you know, your writing hobby, then Celtics is the way to go. Give Celtics a try, or else I'll punch you.
Now, if you want to talk about the movies, we'll talk about the movies.
Okay,
if you
want to
talk about real life, we'll talk about real life.
All right, Act 1. The best way to start a screenplay. My personal opinion is that you just start with interior or exterior, location and time, your basic slug line. For me, that's where I start, and I haven't changed my tune since school. A lot of screenwriting books will say you have to do the fade in, which is simply, you know, the transition fade in, and then your slug line. Personally, I think it's a waste of paper, and it really doesn't do much for the screenplay, especially if you're trying to get it sold or anything like that. Stuff like the fade in can come in future drafts, hell, even a production script. But for a spec, I would say you don't need it. Of course, if you disagree with me, feel free to voice your opinions. I'll give you some contact information at the end. But just know that I'm right and you're wrong. Another aspect to starting a screenplay is a title sequence. I know back in the day when Quentin Tarantino first started, the whole big deal was title sequences and cold open before, or like a teaser before jumping into the credits. And sometimes you'll see in some scripts that, begin title sequence is written in with, like, a montage of some kind thrown in to give you an idea of, like, a stylistic opening credit sequence. Now, whether or not this is really needed is up in the air, but, again, personally, I think it's a little stupid, and it just shows that you have no confidence in your director, or you wouldn't have any confidence in people who will take over your script eventually. Because that's what it boils down to. I mean, you could write that title sequence in there, but unless it's amazing, the director's just going to change it anyways, or the producer. So putting it in there is kind of a waste, especially for a first draft or even like a spec. So yeah, I mean, you don't have to take my word for it, but those are just my thoughts on the matter. And now we'll jump to Act 2, but first, words a screenwriter should never, ever use. Or we could title this, Words That If You Use It, I Will Punch You. Seriously. Lol. The word I'm talking of today is commiserate. while it's a decent word to use in normal conversation or regular prose, to use it in a screenwriting sense, especially an action text, is really kind of stupid. I mean, really, commiserate? Like, I could see if the random chance that two people commiserate, you know, that's simple, but it's just, I don't know, there's better ways you could write it. And yes, I think for a script, you don't need this word, and I will punch you if you use it.
I love the Smiths.
Sorry?
I said I love the Smiths. You've good taste in music.
You like the Smiths?
Yeah. To die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. I love them.
Holy.
This is a story of boy meets girl.
They made a statue of us.
The boy, Tom Hansen, grew up believing that he'd never truly be happy until the day he met the one. The girl, Summer Finn, did not share this belief. You should know up front, this is not a love story.
I think we should stop seeing each other.
Act 2, the review of 500 Days of Summer. I meant to release this pilot episode a week or so ago, which would have made it a week or so closer to when I saw it, which would have been a little bit more timely, because this movie's been out for a little while, and there are other movies out there that I could have picked, but this one stuck with me for a few reasons, and let's go over them. The good, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, that, you know, that little brat from Third Rock from the Sun, or as I was told, he was the leader of the joint. Well, fuck it, who cares? Anyways, he is good in this film, and a memorable sequence involves him singing karaoke to the Pixies. Keep an eye out for it. I highly recommend it just based off of that piece of music alone. Another good in this film, which is fairly obvious if you know me, is Zooey Deschanel. She's just not in terrible roles. And the fact that her role requires kind of a mystique, or it's hard to explain, but the film is from the point of view of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, and we never really get an idea who Zooey truly is, and any other actress, as I've heard said, could just take the role and demand it be written, like her character fleshed out more, but that's not the point of the script, and she plays this kind of mysterious other in terms of ex-girlfriends fairly well. Another good is the honesty of the subject matter. I frickin' hate quirky romantic comedies. I just don't like them. They're boring. I feel nothing at the end other than disgust that I've wasted 2 hours of my time with this piece of shit. That's not the case here. There's actually some honesty in the relationship between the characters and how they interact and what actually happens in the film. And it's for that reason alone that I would highly recommend this film for you. From a screenwriting perspective, it's actually hard to write a love story that's quote-unquote not a love story and still bring out some honesty to it. If you get a chance, check out the Creative Screenwriting Magazine's podcast where they interview the writer for 500 Days of Summer. In that interview, basically the writer, he goes on and basically talks about his unfortunate inspirations for this film and just how it informed his writing. And if you can get a chance to really read or listen to any interview with screenwriters about how they throw the honesty into their work, do so. It's important, and you can tell if you really watch the film. And another good is that it's quirky, but it doesn't beat you over the head with it. And I'm talking to my co-host, particularly, at Calamity Ensues. There are some quirky things, and the trailers really don't do it any justice. And here's a note, actually a suggestion to anybody who makes future trailers. Stop trying to mold the film into something that it's not quite what it is. Like, the trailer for 500 Days of Summer doesn't give any justice to the movie. Let's just put it that way. All they really did was take the opening credit sequence with Regina Spektor and then chopped in some clips of Zooey. Like, ugh. And then let's get to the not so good stuff. From a screenwriting standpoint, the first half of the film is pretty slow and bloated. There were times in the beginning where I thought, oh my god, this better kind of move somewhere and fast. It was very uneven. Like, the fact that it was nonlinear kind of helped. But if I had to compare, like, if I had to choose which half of the film I liked better, I'd have to say the very last half of the film. As it just got right down to the meat of the film, and it's where really all the important relationship stuff happens. The auxiliary characters were really two-dimensional, as most are in romantic comedies. Any note to future screenwriters, also myself, make these side characters believable and fun and interesting, not retarded, douchebaggy cardboard cutouts. And then there's the narrator. There is a narrator for key parts of the film, and if you're thinking Pushing Daisies, don't worry, it's not quite as obnoxious or god-awful claw-your-ears-out-with-a-pencil sort of way. But still, a narrator for me is a very uninspired choice for writing. I mean, why do we need to be told? I mean, a basic screenwriting rule is show, don't tell, and this is a glaring slap in the face. Even in a sort of, oh, we're breaking the rules sort of way. No, it feels cheesy, and you could argue that the point of Joseph's character, Tom, is that he's watched movies with all the narrations and cheesy things like that, and that's kind of from his point of view, I guess. But there are other ways you can do that, and they go to some extent to do that with the dance in the street sequence with the little animated bird. Like, that's already hit home that this is from his point of view, so having a narrator saying, this is a story about love, or it isn't about love, poppy caca. No, it's pretty stupid. And I don't know if to categorize this under the not so good or just confusing, but the younger sister is a very wise and sage person, a la Silent Bob. Like, everything she says is important and meaningful, and it's helpful. Maybe that's how it really happens, but it just struck me as odd. So you can place that one where you will. Overall, but that aside, overall the film is great. Go check it out. And give some thought to the writing that goes into it. Might change your mind on a lot of films, actually.
We've been like Sid and Nancy for months now.
We have some disagreements, but I hardly think I'm Sid Vicious.
No, I'm Sid.
All right, moving on to Act 3, the questions and discussion portion of the podcast, which admittedly will be short because I didn't fish for any questions or discussion. Go me. Future episodes, what I'd like to see here is various Twitter messages, emails, or voicemails sent to me asking questions or giving general thoughts about screenwriting. It doesn't have to be like, how do I do this, or what's the rules for this? In fact, I'd encourage it to be more along challenging things I've said, / just brainstorming the, you know, what's important about screenwriting itself. It's a free form, and I will include most, if not all, messages sent my way. Here's the particulars if you want to communicate with me. You can contact me for the podcast on my Twitter at G or capital G triple R lowercase screenplay. That's GRR screenplay. Clever, ain't it? And you can also send email to me at jonathan.hardesty@gmail.com. Really, all sorts of love and devotion can be sent there, primarily. I do like reading that. You can also send a voicemail question to my Google Voice account, because I am hip with the technicals. Think about it. The number is 773-980-ZOMG. And if you do want to leave a voicemail, leave a place on the internets where we can all find you. A, for stalking reasons, and B, so further discussion can continue. So that's pretty much it for this edition, this pilot episode of The Disgruntled Screenwriter. There's really not a lot of disgruntled in this first episode, but give me some time. A pilot episode is never usually quite what the rest of the season is, to throw some TV in there. And yeah, we will eventually get to some stuff like TV, screenwriting, tips and tricks and rules, because some of those are pretty fucking confusing. And I plan to flesh out Act 1 a lot more every week, in which more discussion happens about, like, technical things involving screenwriting. Like, a couple ideas I have for next week would be montages, and let's see, what else? Dual columns, and just basically kind of going through various books I've read, even. I know in a future episode I want to go into this book that I've done a video scathing review of, about the 36 dramatic situations. And while I did give it a really scathing review, so much to calling it stupid, there are some things in there that are kind of interesting to think about and worth discussing. So I'll be bringing that up. And hopefully, too, we'll have guests on, maybe giving some sort of insight into screenwriting. I would love to interview, really, anybody who's into writing, whether it be screenwriting or not, because I do believe that writers of all kinds can inspire one another and have some good dialogue. Well, that's it for this week. See you guys next Thursday. For the Disgruntled Screenwriter, I'm Movie Guy John.